It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by WCF Insurance. Reminding you to be careful out there. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Okay, you ready?
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, welcome to the program. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. You okay?
Yep, doing good.
I didn't play it. Lloyd, you got to take it out. No more playing that thing.
What?
How you doing, man? What's new?
What thing?
Jazz game going on.
Oh, man. Lloyd, no more. Get it out of the system.
What else is new? Should we get into the starter? Let's do it. We're at TriDayTrading.com.
See, Lloyd, you can stay up.
I'm going to get people in here.
You can stay up there in the studio. I'm down here at TriDay Trading, and you got my guy
angry. Oh, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. It's a great way to start it.
It's not a great way.
You even ask everybody, are you ready?
It's got to go. It's got to go. We got to get rid of it. No more.
So anyways, excited about it. 30-day trial, $10, and you can see how you can make money in the day trading market. Go to trydaytrading.com.
I'm going to put an alarm in my phone for 9:50 tomorrow to make sure that doesn't happen. I commit to you that that will not happen again.
Yeah. So $10, 30 days, and you could see how you can make extra money single month.
Look, you and I are talking right now because, you know, back in February, I was reading up on some stuff and found out that this whole Doge thing is something that you should keep an eye on. So I put like just a, you know, modest amount.
Little tiny
amount on Doge. And then it kept creeping up and creeping up and creeping up. And, you know, I add a little bit along the way, but man, there's some things where you're just like, wow, I knew what was going on. I was on it. Why didn't you go more? And today Doge like hit 60 cents.
Yeah.
Like it makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah, but it'll be down to 35 cents tomorrow.
It's volatile. It is crazy volatile, but it seems like once it hits a big number, then it comes back down, but it doesn't come all the way back down. Like, I think it's got, I don't know where this thing's going to end before it's all said and done, but I'm sticking in it for the long haul. I'm not just going to churn and burn on that.
It's at 53 cents right now. I got in on this XRP, which is a different type of cryptocurrency, and I got in on it at 32 cents. It's at $1.37.
Wow.
So, and then I did get in on Doge, but I got in on Doge when it was like 30 something, like 28 cents or 32 cents.
And by the way, just for the record, we're not endorsing anything or giving you any investing advice.
No.
No, because no, we are no, not no. The people to be doing that. We're
yeah, because this could crash and be
yes,
gone tomorrow.
Yes. So, look, don't take anything we're saying with any grain of salt whatsoever.
So you're not telling them to take it for a test drive.
No. No, I'm telling you to do your own research and to figure out what's best for you and consult your financial advisors. Because I do not want anybody, I don't know, like of all things we can get in trouble for, I don't want to get in trouble at all on this.
Well, the TriDayTrading.com too, they're starting to integrate parts of this cryptocurrency. So if you're interested in trading cryptocurrency, you can do that through TriDay Trading. So,
and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because they are dipping into those waters a little bit here. And if you don't know anything about crypto, if you don't know anything about trading currencies, if you don't know how to handle yourself in these kinds of situations, and you think you should, and frankly, look, in this day and age, you probably should have some knowledge of this and some ability to trade and some ability to make some money, because there's money to be made out there.
There is, especially in this stuff. Who knows? Maybe the floor falls out on it, but it is a very intriguing thing. And you know, Scotty, you kind of saw how I started in this and kind of where I was money-wise in it. And you just kind of hang in there and it goes up and down. But I think if you got professionals like TriDayTrading.com and you are actively trading this, their software and their advice can really help you along the way. But I'm with you, dude. Like, we're not telling you one way or the other to yeah. do anything in this market, because it truly is, like, I'm just watching it right now. It's jumping all over the place.
And that's that's why also we advise you to try to TriDayTrading.com. As you mentioned, $10 gets you 30 days. And then you can figure out for yourself what's best for you. You get 30 days of training. You're going to get a lot of information. I've been through the training process and absolutely loved it. Loved it. Learned so much. And you can go through it. And then at the end of 30 days, you figure out, okay, mm-hmm. all right, let's go. Let's roll. Or if not, like, hey, I'm still a little intimidated. I don't think this is right for me. Then you walk away, they pat you on the back and say thanks.
Yeah, I want people to understand, too, they want you to want to do this because they're going to yeah. fund an account. You're trading their money. So if you're not fully into this, this isn't a high-pressure thing. It's not like they're trying to yeah. upsell and oversell.
What's it going to take for you to get signed up today?
They're going to put money in an account, and you're going to trade their money and keep 60 to 80% of what you make. So they really want people that are interested and motivated. If you're yeah. not, they're like, fine, thank you for saving our time and our money. And they're really cool. And Ryan and James are the backbone of this thing, and I love those two. Been working with them for 4.5, 5 years now.
Yeah. Can't wait to talk to them going forward and learn more a little bit about what they've got going on right now.
But I saw your tweet. So you, the kids want to name a yacht.
Oh, they're all thinking like, we're rich. We're rich. And I'm like, hey, so here's the thing. To make money, you have to have money.
Uh-huh.
Money makes money. And we didn't put a lot in on this thing. So so we got maybe like a hopper pass, and that's about it to Disneyland. So,
oh my gosh, could you imagine if you'd have put $500,000 in on that?
Wow, yeah. You and me would be
at 4 cents.
Only you would say that, Hans. Jeez.
I'm just saying.
Well, no, like, okay, so $500,000 is out of the realm of possibility, at least for me. Maybe not you, but
me as well.
But if you'd put like, 10, 20 grand on something like that, I mean, look, you're paying off your house, you're doing all kinds of great stuff.
At 4 cents?
Yeah.
And we're up to, is it 53?
Yeah, you'd be doing all right.
Be doing okay.
Doing all right. I'm not going to do that math on the radio.
See, so you take the
calculator.
8 and put it into 58,000.
Gordon out there is grabbing his phone.
Oh, man.
Fun show on tap for today. A lot to get to on the program. And we've got a busy show. David Locke's going to join us coming up a little bit later on. Talk about the Jazz, and I just think it's really funny how we've got a lot of things going on in terms of what the rest of this NBA season is going to look like, what we can expect going forward. So a lot on the table in terms of that, so we will get to it right now. You're listening to the starting lineup, Hans and Scotty, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup.
Starting lineup.
Presented by University of Utah Health.
Gotta love
it! On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Baseball outlet by Ingles. O'Neal's in the middle of the floor. Finds a trailing Niang, resets Royce, resets George. Okay, I'll take it, and I'll bury it, says George Niang, Jazz by 20.
There you go, David Locke on the call last night. George Niang, 11 points on 3 of 6 from the outside. And the Utah Jazz get a 110-99 win over the San Antonio Spurs. And Scotty, we could start on the offensive side for the Utah Jazz. Sorry, the offensive side for the Utah Jazz, but I think that this was about what they did defensively, and specifically, I think it's about what Rudy Gobert did defensively. He was the most standout performer for me last night.
Yep.
And it's not exactly about his line, even though he was 10 of 14, he did end up with 24 points and 15 rebounds, as much as it was about the things that don't measure on the line. Forcing San Antonio into a mid-range.
Yep.
Nobody wanted to attack the rim on him. And that allowed the Jazz to really pressure on the outside, forced him off the perimeter. So the mid-range was there. Now, mid-range for the Phoenix Suns, Knockdown, knockdown, knockdown. 54 points, I think, yep, they had in the paint. Mid-range for the Spurs, just a lot of off-rim, a lot of rebounds, a lot of – it led to quick transitioning for the Utah Jazz, getting a nice offensive positioning. But Rudy Gobert just constantly forcing the issue defensively, I think, was the storyline for this game.
Well, and that's what the Spurs want to do. They have suddenly embraced the mid-range game. This is the dead last. They are number 30 in the league in three-point attempts per game. They don't shoot threes. DeMar DeRozan is a mid-range guy. That's his game. And they are number one in the league in two-point attempts per game, which would make sense. If you're dead last in three, you're probably going to be near the top in twos. And they're number one in two-point attempts per game. They're a mid-range game. And DeMar DeRozan, that's his game. He hasn't shot a three-point attempt since, what, March 25th, March 26th. So that's what they do. And the Jazz realize, okay, that's their strength of this game. They want to go mid-range. We're going to take all of that away because we've got the best defender in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, when DeMar DeRozan tries to get into the paint and he sees Rudy Gobert, he's like, oh, we're going to back that thing right out of there. I want no part of that. And Rudy's shaking his head. Even though they scored a bucket on that possession, that was one of the more really fascinating things. When you saw guys get into the paint and say, I'm going to mosey on my way on out of here because I want no part of this. Yeah.
Happened a few times. You could tell guys were confused about it. How about – I love that Rudy is starting to really – I mean, I know that Rudy knows who he is.
Yeah.
But Rudy can sense when his presence forces somebody into something that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
And there were multiple times last night where he recognized it. And it built his – I think it built his confidence. And then it showed on the offensive side. What do you think happens with Rudy? Is it his offense shows on the defensive side, or do you think his defense – shows on the offensive side? Do you know what I mean by that? Because it was a big night offensively for Rudy.
I think
points or something above his average.
I think when you when he has that night, when he starts shaking his head, when guys were looking to get in the lane, they saw him and they didn't attack, and he starts shaking his head like, I know what's going on here. He knows he's in their head, and I think that bleeds over to the offensive side. So to answer your question, I think his defense, when he's really got it going defensively, I think leads on to the offensive side.
You got to do pre-half and post with Coach Lacombe?
Yeah.
So when I had a chance to talk to him about it, he was talking about how some guys offensively, when they're having a night, it leads to activity defensively.
Yes.
But it does feel like Rudy starts with a couple of defensive stops or a couple of defensive moments. And the night really started with Royce O'Neal defensively. Royce had a couple of really nice steals that led to quick transition buckets. And I'm sure that Rudy had some role in what was happening defensively at the start there, but holding San Antonio to just 43 points in the first half and then holding them under 100 points through the game. So the Spurs are the last in three-point attempts. But I also know with their athleticism, because they do have plenty of athleticism with guys like Murray, and you talked about DeRozan, they still would love to finish at the rim, and that was just incapable.
Yeah,
they were incapable last night with Rudy Gobert doing what he's doing. So I loved it, and I really think that led to high level offensive success for the Utah Jazz.
It's one of those things where you look at what you've got going on with the Jazz and a game that they needed to win, and they did so convincingly. And I think that you're starting to see a team start to figure out what's going on and how to handle themselves without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell. Now, look, when you play Denver coming up later on, that the loss of those two guys are going to hurt. But you can beat San Antonio without those two guys. We saw that last night. I think you're going to see a much different and much closer game coming up tomorrow. San Antonio is playing on the back end of a back-to-back. The Jazz had a little bit of rest, and you could tell that in the game. So I think tomorrow is going to be a little bit different, going to be a little closer. But I also think that you're going to see the Jazz have every opportunity to win that game, and frankly, they need to.
I agree with that. I'm really impressed with the Utah Jazz ability to do what they did last night in San Antonio.
Yep.
I thought that was going to be a closer game. But at no point from the first 2 minutes of that game did I feel like the Jazz were going to be in trouble in that game.
Nope.
They just had it under control, and the offense, the ball movement was phenomenal. It was fantastic. They ended up with 22 assists on the night, and the ball just didn't stop. And it kept finding the open looks, and the open looks were getting knocked down. And it was really it was kind of what you believe the Utah Jazz offense to be.
Yeah. When you have a system and the system's in place and the system is run at a high level, you can lose a couple guys and the system can still facilitate. If you're not overmatched dramatically talent-wise. And the Jazz last night were not overmatched talent-wise. They could run their stuff. And it wasn't a, you know, in some of these games that we've seen minus Conley and Mitchell, it's been a, okay, I'm going to get mine on this possession. You're going to get yours on the next possession. Here it's like, okay, let's just run our stuff and things are going to be all right. And there's a little bit of a faith in the system that you have to have. And the Jazz had it last night and it was great. And I think, I hope there's some carryover because they need to beat San Antonio tomorrow. You figure, and I think DJ brought this up with the Denver loss last night. To avoid falling down to the three, you need to finish the year 4-3. And I think that's more than this team's more than capable of doing that. You win against San Antonio, that puts you on that path. But it's going to be really hard for the Jazz to fall much further than two if Phoenix keeps winning. Just based on what happened last night. The Jazz getting a big win, Denver suffering that loss to the Lakers.
How are you feeling about Jordan Clarkson? And that's not a loaded question.
No.
It's just
Jordan Clarkson.
Such an emotional roller coaster.
Well, Jordan Clarkson serves a role. Like what he does is what the Jazz want him to do. I think people think that he takes on more than he's expected to do. No, what he does is why the Jazz brought him in. Bulk shooting, off the bench. That is what the Jazz. He's going to earn a reward off this. So he's going to be your sixth man of the year. So on nights when he's, you know, 1 of 8 or the shot's not falling and he keeps cranking it time and time again, don't be mad at Jordan. Be mad at the Jazz. Be mad at Quinn because that's what they want him to do. That is what they are telling him to do. That is his role on this team. It's not him playing out of the system. It's not him doing more than what is expected of him. That is his role on this team, is to be the guy that brings that scoring punch off the bench.
So through the month of April, he averaged 8.5 3-point attempts, and he averaged 2.8 makes off those 8.5 attempts. You're absolutely right. It's bulk attempts, and he has to show energy, and he's got to be instant offense, and he's got to be exactly what they brought him in to be. It's just, I want Jazz fans to understand, you're going to go through nights with him.
Yeah.
And I was texting back and forth with Doug, actually, with Larry H. Miller Used Car Supermarket, who's a massive Jazz fan. And Doug and I were going back and forth. And we know, you know, we were talking about, we know what we're going to get from Jordan. And you're going to have a playoff game where he's going to be 1 of 10.
Yep.
You know, the other night he was 1 of 10 against Minnesota on the, it was the second game that they lost to Minnesota. He was 1 of 10. And you're pulling your hair out because his percentage from the field, he was 5 of 20 on the night. And you're pulling your hair out because you don't understand how he still has the green light to shoot. But that's exactly what it is. That's what he has to be. Because the following night,
yes,
he'll come out and, you know, let's say it's Golden State in the first round. The following night, he'll come out. He'll knock down some big shots. He'll run a couple of defenders around and exhaust them and give you that effort. And it'll lead to, you know, it'll be a major contribution to a win. But you are going to deal with some downtime.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's so much the cold shooting as it is the turnovers a little bit that are a little more probably Jazz fans pulling out their hair. Like he had like a moment where I think he had 5 straight turnovers, like in about, it seemed like 5 minutes. Like he ended up with 5 turnovers total. Jazz had 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's some of the over dribbling that I feel like Jazz fans look at him like, it's a little much. I don't know.
So what do you want? I mean, do you want to bench him?
No.
Like, I just... Like,
no, I'm not saying bench him at
all. I just don't know, like, what you want, because that's who he is. That's what they expect out of him. That's what his role on this team is. He's going to play ISO ball. He's going to affect some... There's going to be turnovers. It's just... Guess what? It's what you signed up for when you brought him in.
Yeah, no. I obviously the answer isn't benching. I know you were just asking that to be a little sarcastic. obviously that's not the answer. And Lloyd, to your point, what I would say it is it's just Quinn Snyder saying, hey, look, love everything you're doing. We love what you're doing.
Go get it.
Just make sure that, you know, when you're taking that angle and you're cutting into this defense, just make sure you secure that thing. Or, you know, if you're coming around off this angle and you're looking for that outlet, just make sure you don't have somebody breaking off defensively getting in that lane. You know, it's not putting him on the bench. It's not restricting minutes. It's not restricting shots. I think it's just continuing to try to, you know, take some of the examples that you've got on the court and saying, all right, Jordan, so in this moment, what we'd rather have you do is this. Because that look closes off anytime we're playing so-and-so, and he knows that lane is gonna be an open look. And I think it's just continuing to help him grow. It's not like you're just throwing Jordan out there and saying, all right, just go, Jordan. You know, there's still a lot of coaching that goes into it.
There's no doubt.
To refine his game.
There's no doubt. But you also know that you go back to the old Oklahoma City days, you had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, even the James Harden years, they were number one in the league in turnovers. They turned the ball over a ton because they were aggressive playmakers. And frankly, I think sometimes turnovers get a little overblown in the grand scheme of things, as long as you're not giving up, you know, giving up devastating turnovers, like the lead to fast break opportunities going the other way. Like San Antonio is one of your best teams in the NBA in forcing turnovers and one of the best in giving up transition opportunities. But they play passing lanes extremely well. So you know Jordan Clarkson, who's going to be an aggressive player, is going to give up turnovers.
Yeah. And it's so did Toronto. Happen. Toronto yeah. was Toronto's really good at forcing turnovers as well.
Yeah,
they might be number one, number two in the league. And so Jordan Clarkson had 8 turnovers in the last 2 games combined. He had 8 turnovers. It's enough that you want to look at it and say, all right, Jordan, just make sure you're closing down and really focusing on these things. But you're right. You can't the second you pull the reins back on Jordan, he becomes what you don't need.
Yeah, that horse wants to run. And you have to realize that you're going to give up a little bit on that.
You know, the most frustrating sixth man I've ever watched in my life could be argued as the best sixth man of all time, and that's Jamal Crawford. There were times when I would watch Jamal, and I'm like, how do you take that? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he would clink 6-7 shots in a row. And he would have 2-3 mishandled balls. And you're just sitting there like, what is he even doing? How is he who he is? But then you'll see him in a moment of brilliance hit 2 threes in a row, find 2 quick transition looks, get a nice finish at the rim, and you're like, oh, okay. And you know, that's Jordan. I just think that everybody has to get used to some frustrating moments and understand what he is.
Yep. Yep. 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Phil's hanging out with us. We're live here at Tri-Day Trading, where you've got an opportunity to make a little extra money. And, you know, here's the thing, Phil. There's a lot of people out there that are reading the headlines, and they see crypto, and they see currencies, and they're like, I know I need to get in on this. I know there's money to be made. I just don't know how to do it. And you can figure things out pretty quick here at Tri-Day Trading.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, I mean, when you look at not only our software, but the education that we teach with you guys, it's mainly Forex. Obviously, crypto is a big buzzword, and we trade crypto as well. So that is part of the education of learning how to trade crypto. And I think some of the misconceptions is, you know, people think that you buy and sell crypto. Well, that's completely different than trading crypto, because we trade it versus the value of the U.S. dollar. And so for us, not only using our indicators, but using obviously our coaches and our webinars and everything else that's going to help you guys to learn when is the opportunity through our software, through the indicators, the right time to get in. And then obviously based off of, you know, take profits and stop losses, which might be new to some people, that's going to help you take the evaluation out of.
Yeah.
Of the trading and let it be more mechanical rather than emotional.
Scotty and I were talking to Ryan the last time we were out here, and as we were kind of closing up shop, and one point that the three of us were talking about was what happened through the pandemic, I think, has forced a lot of people to rethink what they're doing with their careers, their occupations, and their security. If they're ever forced to stay in their home, or, you know, if anything like that happens again. And Scotty Ryan and I were like, everybody should have some understanding of what day trading is.
Correct.
Because it is done in your home. If everything shuts down, the market is always up and going.
Correct.
And it is something that everybody should have a little bit of understanding of.
Well, and I think we all found out that there's no need for these huge office buildings anymore. And, I mean, you look at everything's on, you know, webinars or Zoom or whatever. And people are able to find out, I have way more time than I actually thought I did.
Yeah.
When you're at home. And, I mean, you're not making any money watching movies. You're not making money watching television shows, or you could be doing this. And people say, oh, I'm so busy, I don't have time to learn how to trade. And you do if you figure out how to make time for that.
You know, and you bring up a good point, too, because I felt that way sometimes. I'm like, oh, I'm really slammed. I got this and this. But if you schedule out your time and you figure out what's, you know, what works best for you, get up at 6 a.m., an hour and a half, and you could be done for the day.
Exactly.
And you can make a lot of money in that time, too.
Exactly. Or instead of watching TV at night,
yeah,
you go check out for an hour and go trade for an hour in the evening. That's what you love about Forex is, I mean, it's 24/5.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at trading crypto. I mean, there's time. If you want to make time, there's time for it.
The other thing, and Scotty, I'm sure that you experienced this too when you were going through the training, the learning and understanding of currency, of worldwide currency, and its movement and manipulation and patterns, and it's just a fascinating learning process.
Correct.
That tri-day trading takes you through.
Well, and one of our cool things is one of our indicators, we talk about the majors and the minors. So the huge institutional accounts compared to the minors, which are guys like us,
yes,
with smaller accounts.
And what's affecting and how those two are affecting things.
And that's what's unique and different compared to what we do compared to others, is you're able to see that movement.
Go to tridaytrading.com. Take advantage of the free webinar. And also, you're starting back in live classes here at the building in Lehigh, too.
Hey, I got to throw it out. If you're in the trial, you can come look at my face. They say I have a face for radio,
no,
but
man.
I am teaching tomorrow
night.
You're way
more handsome than us.
I am teaching tomorrow night, so I'll throw it out. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock in person.
I'll bet you're excited to be back, because you're a people person.
I am.
I'll bet you're excited to be back in person.
Yeah, and
good for you.
I look forward to it.
That's great.
TridayTrading.com for more information on the webinars and when you can meet here in person as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, make sure to check out the bold new lineup of Jerry Seiner Cadillac. It's definitely not your grandpa's Cadillac, right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Have you showed Lisa this story?
No.
Will you put the headset on her and show her that story?
Okay, now you be respectful while I'm gone, okay?
Okay.
Hey, fellas.
Gordon is back. Hi, Gordon.
Yeah, she's not here. I think she's on a walk or something.
Now, wait a minute. Did you eat something?
I grabbed a snack.
I didn't even go look for it.
I saw a couple of M&Ms, so I chucked them in my mouth, and then I went to the other side of the house to look for it.
You did not. You just went to the kitchen to grab a snack.
It's okay, isn't it?
Sure, they're waiting on air for me, but heck, I'm hungry.
Might as well, eat some
food. No.
I got a snack.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone in The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, hope you're all having a tremendous, what is it? Oh, Tuesday today. Jazz get the big win last night. And coming up a little bit later on the show today, we'll have a chance to chat with David Locke coming up at 12:05.
You know, Scotty, you brought up the fact that San Antonio was on the back end of a back-to-back, which you're absolutely right. But and they did look slow. But Jakob Poeltl and DeRozan didn't play the night before, did they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. I think they rested both those guys coming into this game. But they do get a game. They do get a day of rest, and then they're back on the court. We talked about this yesterday. San Antonio's in a pressure cooker. They can't afford these losses. New Orleans is just right there now. I think two games back. Let me look. I've got the standings up here. New Orleans now, Scotty, is – oh, they're 2.5 games back because they lost last night.
Yeah. Denver – or no, to Golden State. Yeah, you're right.
Golden State got them.
By the way, did you watch any of that game?
I did.
What do you think of the weird graphics?
I don't like them.
I didn't like it at all. I mean, like, I think it was cool.
I don't like them.
I thought it was funny because I was watching the game with Tim Lacombe as we were doing the pre-half and post. And we were laughing because I'm like, somewhere, if Hans is watching this show, Hans is going to throw his phone through the TV.
I don't like them.
I thought it was cool. I thought what they did was
You're talking about the trailing and
the trailing and the Avengers whole
the
thing
lights.
They did. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I didn't. I thought what they were able to accomplish was cool. Like, I thought, wow, that's really amazing that technology allows that to happen, but get it off my TV. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Like,
I respect that they were able to do that in a live basketball game with the thing floating on the ball and all that other stuff.
But
and
just because you can doesn't mean
exactly.
You should.
Just it's cool that you can do it, but don't ever do it again.
Like a minute to 2 minutes of it, it's like, oh, wow. Because you watch some of the shots that Steph was launching, and that purple tail would go for quite a while, and then the big explosion at the rim. It was – But then you're like, all right, done.
Yeah.
Just done.
Yeah.
But Golden State is a problem. They are – Steph Curry is quickly becoming a huge problem.
I don't know what we're going to look like here. These playoffs are going to be a nightmare.
Okay, so let me ask you. Who do we see in that play-in? Do you think – because I think it's going to come down between San Antonio and New Orleans.
I agree.
You know the Spurs finish. We talked about that yesterday. They've got the Suns a couple of times. They got New York a couple of times.
I think it's going to be New Orleans, honestly.
So, look, here's New Orleans' finish. I was looking at this morning. New Orleans has Golden State again tomorrow. Actually, Golden State again tonight.
Oh, they're playing a back-to-back.
Yeah, they're playing a back-to-back with Golden State. So, and Golden State beating them on back-to-back nights, it'd be interesting. But then they go on a five-game road trip, Scotty. They're at Philly, at Charlotte, at Memphis, at Dallas, at Golden State. And then they finish with the Lakers. That's the New Orleans Pelicans finish. It's not as difficult as San Antonio, but it's got its own difficulties. You know, five-game road trip to finish is going to be really brutal for them. But I don't think it's quite as difficult as San Antonio's finish. Here's San Antonio's finish. They've got the Phoenix Suns twice at the very back end of the season. They've got New York and Brooklyn both on the road. Well, Brooklyn will still be refining, right?
Yeah.
And New York will still be on the press?
Yeah.
So that's your final four games, at Brooklyn, at New York, Phoenix. Phoenix will still be on the press because the one seed's still in the air.
Yes. Yep.
And then you got Milwaukee at Portland. At Sacramento, and then of course tomorrow night at Jazz is kind of the start of that. Both you don't want either one of those, but I see New Orleans with at least two more wins than the Spurs to finish off the season.
I'd agree with that,
but it's tough. Both those schedules are really tough. Maybe it holds what we're currently at. If it does, it's going to be just by the hair of your chinny chin chin. Let's see. Who owns the tiebreaker on that? Because that could be a tiebreaker for the 10th spot, right?
Could be. And I don't know who owns the tiebreaker there.
Let's see. So they beat New Orleans. The Spurs have one win over New Orleans. They've got two wins over New Orleans.
So there you go.
They've got the tiebreaker. Spurs have the tiebreaker over New Orleans.
You know what? I'll probably go San Antonio then.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Because they've got to make up, what, three games?
Two and a half.
Yep. I just don't see it's good.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But it might come down to the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
As difficult as these two schedules are.
All of a sudden, New Orleans just became a big fan of the Jazz coming up tomorrow.
Well, see, I see San Antonio with, I mean – realistically, potentially only one more win.
Yeah. Good.
Against Sacramento, if they could do it. That's on the road.
Look, I think the game that you expected to see last night between the Jazz and the Spurs, you're going to see tomorrow. just because the Jazz ran the Spurs off the court last night, I don't get the vibe that you're going to see that again coming up tomorrow. I think you're going to see a much closer game. If the Jazz run them off the court, then, hey, that's awesome. Great. I was shocked. I think what you expected last night, you're going to get tomorrow.
What did Coach Lacombe think in the pregame? How did he feel
about
this game?
I think both of us were thinking it was going to be a dogfight. And afterwards we're like, Wednesday's going to be a dogfight. This is a game that got away from San Antonio. You're right. A couple guys sat out, but they, you know.
San Antonio looked slow.
They looked slow.
They looked tired.
They looked really deliberate. It just didn't look good. I don't think you'll get that same performance again.
I also wonder if Coach Popovich looks at this and says, hey, we can't do what we're doing against Rudy. We got to figure. I understand what we're trying to do as a team.
Yeah.
We can't do what we're trying to do against Rudy. That it completely destroyed everything offensively. Holding them under 100 points and really restricting their ability to do what they want to do, finish at the rim or finish at the mid-range.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I guess it's not weird because I know Popovich is always, you know, kicking against the norm.
I'm glad you didn't use the other phrase.
You talk about the old podcast now?
Oh, my gosh. I should have just let him do it because there's no way they were going to keep doing the podcast anyway.
We only got two episodes
and then they stopped doing it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but those two were electric. They were electric.
That name. Wow.
Oh, man. Did they try to clear that through you first, Lloyd, or did they try to clear that through Scotty?
I heard about it, and I told Scotty.
I think what they did
went
was
to
just,
them too.
They went to Jake Hatch and said, hey, can you post this for us with this name? And then Jake was like, I think I might need to run this up the food chain.
That's probably closer to what it probably was.
Good thinking, Jake.
Yeah. By the way, I got a story to tell you during the break.
And when Gordon starts to justify things, he really can work circles around it.
No. Like, he and PK, by the way, both.
Yeah, I was going to say, both of them can do that.
Both of those guys can justify their actions better than anybody else I've ever known. Like, there's been so many times where, you know.
It really is the worst podcast name you could possibly come up with.
Yes.
And it had nothing to do with actually fighting against the norms.
No. Or kicking against the norms.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with that.
But boy, you spend 5 minutes listening to them, and you're like, well, maybe they got a point there.
I guess it can
work.
And you're
like, no. What am I? No.
I guess it can work.
Maybe nobody will notice.
Oh, man.
Hands and Scotty coming up next. What you may have missed straight ahead. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Aaron Roderick, BYU football offensive coordinator. Do you see more NFL talent on the BYU roster and a chance to back it up?
Yeah, we've got a lot of good players. The message to our team and specifically that I've been talking to our offense about is, okay, we lost all these good players. Now everybody thinks we're going to suck. But the challenge to our current players is, what are they going to do? Are we going to show up and play, or are we going to go back to being 7-6 again? I like the raw material that we have to work with right now. Opportunities usually come from winning a lot of games, and that's what I want our team focused on right now, is win games, and then the cream will rise to the top, and that's how guys get chances at the next level.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Have time to watch every game or read every story? Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Brian Fisher is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Jazz get the W last night. It's kind of an interesting time of year. You got spring ball over with. You got the NFL draft over with. Kind of feels like the doldrums, if you will. Just like, come on. Let's get fall camp going again.
Fall camp, but we're so close to NBA postseason.
I know.
I can't believe how quick it's coming. So I was going through the West, and with what's going on with the Lakers and LeBron, it just opens everything up. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
It's anybody's game out of the West. Anybody that gets hot, stays healthy, it's anybody's game, in my opinion. With what the Lakers are dealing with, Schroeder gone,
yeah,
and LeBron, who knows? There's one question that stands in the way, and that is the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I know that the Nets, I watched a bit of that game against Milwaukee. I don't know if it was, it might have been a couple nights ago, but they ended up losing to Milwaukee. But Kevin Durant had 42 points and 10 rebounds in that game. Kevin Durant started to fill it. Now, he put up volume shots. He had 33 attempts in that game. But Durant scored 42. Kyrie Irving put up 20 points. They combined for 62 in a loss. And we're all kind of waiting to hear the full outcome of James Harden. James Harden's kind of the wild card with the Nets. And, you know, when that injury re-aggravated, it was ominous the way they reported it and the way he talked about it, kind of like, how long is this going to put him out? But the Brooklyn Nets, to me, are the one wild card that it might not be anybody's game in the NBA. It might be the Brooklyn Nets. If it's not the Brooklyn Nets because of injuries, then it's anybody's game.
Yeah.
Through the postseason, East and West. Because I think the Jazz against Milwaukee, I think the Jazz against Philly, I think the Jazz against anybody in the East in a seven-game series, I think it's anybody's series. But if Brooklyn is fully loaded, then I think it's Brooklyn's season.
Yeah.
But do you believe that James Harden is at some point going to return and be the James Harden they need him to be?
I do, but I don't think it's going to be for a while. I think it'll be second round of the playoffs. But I do think he'll take enough time that he'll be right when he comes back, and I think he'll be a problem.
Okay. Do you think the Nets, if they don't have Harden, do you think the Nets have enough to make it the Nets?
Yes.
Even without Harden?
Yeah, I think without Harden, they've got enough to go match up against Milwaukee for an Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, but what about a Finals?
Without Harden?
Without Harden. Taking on the Western Conference Finals champ.
It's a 5 or 6-game series. And no.
For Brooklyn?
But I still think I think they can beat Milwaukee in a 7-game series without him.
I think they can.
But then again, you look at the West. Who's coming out of the West?
Kevin Durant is looking really good.
I mean, if the Lakers were healthy and firing on all cylinders, I'd say no. But Lakers look like they're a mess right now. Clippers, Denver, Jazz, Phoenix. I think they'd be right there with any of those teams in a 7-game series.
Well, Brooklyn to me is the wild card, and obviously we'll be paying close attention to James Harden. I have not heard any updates about him in over a week.
I don't think so either. By the way, you know a team is really starting to, you know, in a situation where they're really starting to tank, when the Cleveland Cavaliers signed Anderson Varejao, who we have not heard from since 2017, signs a 10-day contract with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Anderson Varejao.
Yeah. Cleveland at 21-43. Certainly not the worst record in the NBA, but about the fourth, fifth worst record in the NBA. The man has not played in the league since 2017, and he just got a 10-day contract with the Cavaliers. You remember Sideshow Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Anderson. Because when he was healthy and at the top of game, he's pretty decent.
Pretty good player, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty
on
decent.
On those LeBron Cleveland teams.
I'm trying to think what that'd be the equivalent of the Utah Jazz re-signing at this point. Somebody who's been out since 2017. Or
it's like bringing back Milt Palacio.
When was Memento Coors last year?
Maybe Ronnie Price.
Ronnie Price. That's, Lloyd and I were talking about Ronnie Brewer last night.
Well, you were. I wasn't. You brought him up.
Okay, but you brought up Van Exel.
No, you brought up Nick Van Exel, too.
It
was a weird conversation.
We're talking about guys we'd like to see on this Jazz roster.
Nick Van Exel?
And Han said Nick Van Exel. He's all, wow, he'd be choice on here.
I thought Brewer would be a pretty good addition.
Because he brings some shooting with him. Oh, wait, no.
Was Brewer the one that had the funky the funky shot?
Broke his arm as a kid.
Yeah.
And had the funky shot, yeah.
He had this weird looping motion with his elbow.
Let's see, who else is floating around?
Anderson Varejao.
Yeah.
What did he... Why? Why would you bring him back? Just, I guess, you're just like, hey.
You need a roster spot.
Come back and make a million.
Guys are hurt. Come back, 10-day contract.
They're just trying to.
Like, at least pull somebody from a G League. Give a kid a shot.
Like, does Anderson even sell a ticket? Somebody's like, oh, I'd love to see Anderson play again. I've missed him.
Go back in that closet. Find that jersey. He's back.
Now we're really going to make it into the play-in tournament. Actually, you're 20 games out.
Yeah, no chance.
Anderson Varejao.
Oh, man. Classic jazz players you'd like to bring back.
Well, I still think Mehmet Okur on this team would be
John Crotty. Where's he at?
Perfect addition. And no, don't tweet at me and say that I was trying to think of another name.
CJ Miles, where's he at?
I could see somebody being like, well, Arizona yourself is basically Mehmet Okur. Stop it. I like Arizona, though.
What could have happened had Memo not torn that Achilles?
I know. That was the most brutal end to a career.
Yeah.
And then it was a sample size of, well, if anybody tears their Achilles, it's over. But not for Kevin Durant.
No, I think KD, and the problem is that everybody else who shreds an Achilles after this will be like, well, KD came back. Yeah. Well, KD's a freak of nature, man.
He is. He's 120 pounds. There's not a lot of pressure being put on the Achilles. Yeah. He's a strangely built individual, and he's recovered well. The Brooklyn Nets make me really nervous, buddy.
Oh, and as they should.
Really nervous. The Lakers, no more. It's about the Nets, in my opinion.
Yep. All right, Hans and Scotty, 11 o'clock straight up. You're on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It is Lemma Harrington joining the program. Lemma, how are you?
I'm fantastic. You brought back just, you know, a horrible memory for me talking about Ronnie Brewer and the broken arm. Because I don't know if you guys know this, I broke my arm, some shrapnel coming through the window. Maybe you heard that story, maybe not. But my basketball shot has been off ever since.
That's what you're blaming it on.
Really.
That changed your career path, huh, Lemma?
Yeah, but you've been eating free sandwiches at Grinders for the last 10 years.
Oh, hey, guys, I got to, you know, chime in on, you know, we keep talking about everything going on with Tri-Day Trading. You know I love Tri-Day Trading, and I thank you guys for introducing me to the program. But the program continues to evolve, and now with cryptocurrency out there, a lot of people kind of, you know, they're curious. They don't know, like, what is cryptocurrency? What's it about? And I just had a great meeting yesterday, in fact, down at Tri-Day Trading, getting some more information on the program and how they have incorporated cryptocurrency into the current program. This is not an add-on to the program, like, okay, you come on in, and if you want to be part of the cryptocurrency, you go over here. This is part of the training and part of the resources that you get, which is one of the beautiful things about Tri-Day Trading. They're all-encompassing, and they give you the information that you truly need to be successful, whether you want to replace your income or supplement your income. It all starts with TriDayTrading.com, and I feel like I need to reemphasize this. You learn how to trade, and then they let you trade using their money, and then you keep some of the profits, like the majority of the profits. Like, who does that? Well, Tri-Day Trading does. So if you're listening and you're you know, got some questions, the best place to start is TriDayTrading.com. So, you know, look them up online, watch some of the videos, get some information. We got seminars that are live on Wednesday nights in Lehigh here locally. And, of course, you can watch webinars at any time on the Internet. But TriDayTrading.com is the spot. That's where you start, is TriDayTrading.com.
TriDayTrading.com, in-person classes now available. If you want to still socially distant, that's totally cool. You can watch the webinars online, get remote training as well. It's really remarkable, however you want to proceed. But 30 days for just $10. Go to TriDayTrading.com. That's TridayTrading.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.